And welcome everybody on YouTube to Off the Hook Overtime. I seem to have made it into YouTube land, Kyle.
Hola.
Okay, cool. Rob, Gila, you there?
Hey.
We are here.
Alex is MIA. I just see an empty chair. Okay, fine. But I think he made it anyway. And Rob, you're going to tell us if we're actually broadcasting on YouTube, right?
We are indeed.
Okay, so there's nothing left for us to do. Have a good night, folks.
No, we were going
to... Oh, sorry.
Good show, everyone.
Yeah, okay, continuing with the FTX conversation. Kyle, you had a point.
I had a couple things that just came to mind. The FTX thing specifically, I just think that the use of cryptocurrencies, it really went astray when people start seeing it as an investment vehicle and something where it's like a get rich quick thing, or you're losing sight of the magic of being able to handle the transactions in a distributed way across borders. That's the really cool part about it. And I think when it started being a business model for all of this pie in the sky altruistic idealist stuff about what it actually is. No, what it is it's a way of doing transactions. I think like blockchain was more interesting than the actual cryptocurrency implementation. Granted, digital finance is exciting, but it wasn't to me that like, oh, you can just make all this money. Like I think that just cheapened it right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And it made it really tacky really quickly. But it also made its visibility and acceptance widely and people kind of understanding the thing nobody understood,
right?
And I think that benefited the future of it, even if it was in the immediate sense to its detriment, because you had such a frothy investment field. The other thing about hype, I guess, and value and skyrocketing projections and all of that, and when that changes, I think, does anybody else get the sense that these entities that are doing all the layoffs, like to some degree, they kind of don't want to be worth that much in Trump organization strategies, you know, of like, no, there's no money here, you know, like they made all of that. And I think there's some benefit to being really lean because the outlook isn't good. They can blame COVID. They can, you know, have all these layoffs. And I just find it really peculiar that right when there's a potential for Democrats and representatives to make a case around privacy, around reining in some of the behaviors in social media, I just find it interesting. And even tax evasion. Specifically, like all this money is being moved around or vaporized in investments in some other new venture they can distract people from. But I think it's really awful convenient. And I was just curious that occurred to me that it seems to really benefit to be, yeah, you know, there's no money, Elizabeth Warren, you know, there's no money. Don't try to come for us because we're broke and, you know, worthless and everything. All the prospects look you know, like nothing. So go away. Mm-hmm. And don't regulate us because we're still new and we need to be able to grow and all this like retro, like decades old attitudes, totally disregarding the current operating environment and what has that all of this has ultimately turned into for society.
Does anybody else have thoughts? Alex, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wasn't actually raising my hand there.
Your hand was up. Literally, your hand was just up. What? Why would your hand be up if you didn't want to be called on?
There were various reasons why my hand
okay.
would be up.
Anyone else?
I am just... amused because if you look into the history of traditional banking, there wasn't always the FDIC. There wasn't always all these regulations that existed to limit what banks were allowed to do with your money and therefore institute some sort of protection. Each of those regulations came about as the response to something going wrong. And One thing people have been saying about the whole cryptocurrency thing since it became an important thing is that they are basically speed running all the reasons why we have the regulations we do. You know, compressing into a small handful of years the entire history of finance in Western society, and it's fun watching them learn lessons that people who handle actual non cryptocurrency money learned along the way over the past generations.
I think a lot of people are learning those valuable lessons right now, and I just hope that the people who put their money into crypto just at least had somebody say to them, this is very risky and you could lose everything. Are you prepared for that? You know, it's if people didn't get that warning, that's extremely irresponsible and possibly criminal. Alex, are you really raising your hand this time? Go ahead.
I might be, actually, yeah. To bounce off what Rob was saying, I think that, there will be, especially the FTX scandal and hack and collapse and all that, well, usher in a new wave of regulation in a more expedited fashion for cryptocurrency exchanges in particular. But I think what you're all saying too is very true in the sense of cryptocurrency as the thing in and of itself is not what we should be investing in. But there is functionality associated with cryptocurrency. And in particular, I'm talking about currencies like the Ethereum network, smart contracts that are based in Ethereum, where there's a function in a smart contract that is in and of itself something else over and above the currency itself. So Bitcoin is simply a transactional digital asset, a transactional digital currency that doesn't have any smart contract functionality. And I think that we're seeing, just in the same way that we're seeing a lot of these smoke and mirrors type institutions and whatnot fall to the wayside, I think we're going to start to see a lot of the less functional cryptocurrencies also fall to the wayside. I'm not predicting here that Bitcoin is ever going to go away entirely, but I think that what we're going to see rise to the top are currencies that have some kind of smart contract functionality over and above what they are in and of themselves as a currency. And I think that's true with NFTs as well. I mean, NFTs investing in a Bored Ape image of an NFT is some might look at it as some kind of silly investment. Some might see it as something risky and speculative that could pay off in the short term. And maybe that worked out for a number of investors, and maybe a number of investors lost money on that kind of bet. But I think an NFT, where we're going to see this go in the future, is it is a very good and accurate record of some kind of ownership interest or title in a third thing, in something other than itself, that can be publicly viewable and accessible on a blockchain. Like, that's a great function for something like a property record, for something like owning a third-party piece of art. So I think we're going to start to see a lot of these functions come to fruition, hopefully more quickly, now that a lot of the FUD and the fuzz has fallen to the wayside.
Go ahead, Gila.
I was just thinking that the next big cryptocurrency exchange, you know, thinking about the things that are going to come from what we've learned, I'm just waiting for, you know, the House of Bricks. No? Okay, the joke sounded better in my head. Never mind.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking about, like, the Three Little Pigs, well, we'll everybody's houses collapsed, and, you know, there was, like, you know, if this is the House of Stone, excuse me, the House of Sticks, maybe, then the House of Bricks is up next. Like, we're going to learn from what happened here. I still don't love it, but... Sorry, I've been sitting on that joke since the end of the show.
We'll be throwing the bricks through their windows? Is that
yes.
The plan? Okay.
I'm down. A more tempered, sensible view of how we're using this, for sure.
Is there anybody here who's comfortable enough with their understanding of cryptocurrency to explain just what in God's name FTX was or is and why it was necessary for people? I mean, I'm sure there's people out there right now saying, why can't I just buy a Bitcoin and keep that, and why do I have to have these shady companies involved? Is anybody comfortable explaining?
I think it was used to convert traditional currencies into cryptocurrencies and vice versa.
You think or you know? I mean,
I think. I don't know.
This is what I get from most people is theories, but...
Should we give out the phone number?
I'm seeing a lot of puzzled people looking at me. No one's comfortable enough to... See, this is the problem. You know... economics, banks, things like that we can talk about, the stock market. We still don't know what we're talking about exactly. It's boring, but this, it's really, there's a lot that we don't know.
I'll tell you the problem. This is the result of making fun of people who explain cryptocurrency.
But are they explaining it, or are they just making it even muddier?
Look at these scared people.
What I'm worried about is that Congress, and we just got a bulletin about Congress, actually, that Congress is going to be stepping in because of all the outrage and concern over what happened with FTX, and it's going to go to the other extreme, where they're going to overregulate. And that's definitely something that should be avoided, but this anything goes atmosphere is also a big problem, especially if people aren't aware that's the atmosphere they're in.
Yeah, and I think the use of it, especially in ransomware, we've seen it, we've talked about it. I think that is also an area where the government wants to take a keen look, because there are so many communities, municipalities, institutions, hospitals, you know, important stuff that really get badly hurt when they're at the effect of something that is employing those tactics and demanding something. You know, I think Alex knows more about this, but, you know, traceability, reporting, incidents and so forth, that's all something that people have evolved a bit in their attitudes around it.
Okay, this bulletin that we just got has to do with Republicans getting control of the House. That happened just a few minutes ago during our show. But here's the thing. This is coming from ABC News, local ABC News. And the way they phrase it, listen to this. You know, talk about confusing people with digital currency. This is confusing people with politics. Republicans retake control of the House, securing veto power on President Biden's agenda. The president now forced to deal with our divided Congress. Okay, last part is true, divided Congress, but he is the one who vetoes. They don't veto him. Get it right. Come on, you're ABC News, for God's sake. Yeah, it's going to be harder for him, but let's not always paint it as, oh my God, it's a disaster and it's another setback for Biden. No, what has happened in the past week is we've seen a much slimmer lead for Republicans in the House of Representatives, and we've seen them lose the Senate, which many of these same commentators were saying they were going to get that as well. So by them having this slimmest of all advantages in the House of Representatives, to me, seems like a disadvantage to them, because they have to get all their ducks in a row. They have to have everybody on the same page. And, you know, when you have hundreds of representatives, that's a lot harder than when you have 50 senators. So, it's not the ideal situation for Biden, but to paint it as a loss for Biden, that's not accurate. And it's just this whole thing of, well, it's one loss after another for Biden, when actually the opposite is what's happening. You know, an off year election like this, a midterm, Democrats were supposed to lose. They didn't lose nearly as much as they were predicted to. In fact, they won in quite a few places. So let's just look at these headlines. And because they come from trusted news sources, and I put that in quotes, doesn't mean they're accurate or correct. All right.
And filibuster is still legal, right?
It is. But, you know, had the Democrats lost the Senate, which a lot of people were predicting, and they had gotten rid of the filibuster, what would have happened? What would have happened at that point?
So it makes you think.
You can sort of see where they're coming from, the people who are hedging on that. And also codifying gay marriage, that's took a big step today in the Senate. They're trying to rush that through the House, because this is how bad it is that even with a one or two person majority in the House, the Republicans will stop that, will stop gay marriage from becoming codified. That is how evil it is. And it really is evil that you can count on them to do that. And that's why they're racing it through now. And they were able to actually get Republican senators to sign on, which I thought was amazing.
The most disturbing part of that is, like, it's important so crucially, because you want to talk about it, how it was something that a lot of people broadly supported, not talk about it in the have them be able to talk about how this is something that they didn't allow because of all this demagoguery they just unfurl in the next, you know, diatribe, explaining away their obstruction policies. And I think that, you know, the sentiment is actually there across the sides of the aisle with that issue.
And when you see the obstructionist attitude, which you will see in the House in the next couple of years, that doesn't work in their advantage either. You know, the way it's being portrayed in the media, oh, it's going to be bad for Biden. It's going to be bad for them, too, if they don't get anything done because they're constantly obstructing everything. So keep that in mind. The other point I want to make before we give out the phone number, the Senate, the runoff in Georgia is taking place on December 6th. I am afraid that people will say it's not as important because the Democrats have clinched the Senate. It's hugely important because 50-50 and needing Kamala Harris to come in and break the tie every time, that takes time. That adds a week to the process. If you have 51-49, then you can just breeze through and do these things much quicker. So it's just as important as it ever was, that runoff in Georgia. And they are doing everything possible to keep people from voting, too. They're actually, a Confederate holiday is actually preventing the polls from being open the Saturday before December 6th. A Confederate holiday. You can't make this up.
Made up
Federal. Well, yeah, it is. Okay, our phone number, 802-321-422. What, we already have a phone call? I didn't finish giving out the phone number yet.
You can finish. You're allowed. You can...
802-321-4225. What's the point? This one's already on the line.
Yeah, there might be people that want to... Try right. After.
It's probably Rebel, right? What's that, Alex?
I said, you know, it's time to take a call from Rebel.
Yeah, I guess it is. All right. And I think we fixed the caller the call waiting issue from last week, I think. We'll find out soon enough. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, it's Bobcat.
Oh, hey, you're not Rebel.
That's right. I got in just ahead of him.
Thank you for not being Rebel.
No ads on YouTube. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's
I've
no,
never seen an ad on YouTube.
You've never seen an ad on YouTube? Oh, you have to see them. They're amazing.
Yes, I know. But here, we're hackers. Let's fix this. UBlock Origin, the letter U, B-L-O-C-K, Origin. You can get it in the Chrome Web Store, the Firefox Store, the Microsoft Edge Store. You will never see an ad on YouTube ever again.
Okay.
Okay? Or you can make a pie hole. You get a Raspberry Pi and you put it in your home network, and it will block all the ads for every device that connects to your home network.
Wow, now that's interesting.
You don't need to look at ads. This is a solved problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Number two, the gay marriage thing you just brought up. Bill Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act. The Supreme Court said that was unconstitutional. Democrats voted to make same-sex marriage illegal, and the awesomely, for some reason, generous Supreme Court decided that was a violation of equal protection.
Okay, where are you going with this?
He's talking about the precedent.
You're complaining about Democrats.
It's been back and forth.
I'm complaining about everybody.
Democrats made gay marriage illegal.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've done a lot of bad things. I'll definitely admit to that.
Okay, then. Okay. Every politician sucks.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree.
I think there's a lot of process in there, too.
Some suck a whole lot more than others.
It wasn't like...
Bill Clinton had... He didn't suck. He was sucked upon.
All right. That was a really
now you're talking, now,
easy shot there.
You're also talking about FTX. This crypto disaster. First, you can buy Bitcoin. I can go down to the gas station on the corner and put in a dollar and buy Bitcoin. They'll give me a little slip of paper with my Bitcoin address on it that is not run by a central exchange like FTX was. The problem is people are trying to use this distributed method of spreading wealth around, and they're putting it in centralized repositories, which can be stolen from or hacked. Now, this one, apparently the fellow, Mr. Sam Friedman something, he stole tons of money and he was giving it away. In 2020, he donated $10 million to get Joe Biden elected. And in this election cycle, he donated $40 million to get Democrats elected. He's the second highest donor besides George Soros to the 2020 Democratic campaign.
Okay. What are we supposed to do with this?
You're complaining about FTX. Where'd the money go? It went to Democrats.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know where the money went. Alex, you have a thought on
this? That's a fair point. That because SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, did donate a huge chunk of money to the Democrats, you know, ahead of the midterm elections, and you know, disproportionately so to the Democrats. I think Bobcat, you know, look, you have a point, but on the other hand,
I have information. I don't have a point.
But that was money that had existed outside of what was stolen from the quote unquote hack of last Friday.
All stolen. How did he make? How did he make any money? Setting up an exchange and having hundreds of companies as subsidiaries offshore, and he's living in some apartment with a dozen other people in the Bahamas or some other tax-free haven.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll tell you this. About maybe a month and a half ago, I don't know if you read the Financial Times, every weekend they do something called a lunch with the FT, where they interview somebody over lunch, and they spend some time talking about what they eat and their eating habits and how much the lunch costs and all that. And about a month and a half ago, they did an interview with Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of FTX, in, I think it was Nassau in the Bahamas. And it was really fascinating to read it. And you came away from this article with the impression that, you know, here's somebody who's really quite an eccentric, but really has his finger on the pulse of what it means to run a cryptocurrency exchange. And then here we are 6 weeks later, so the whole thing has completely fallen apart. It's a scary situation, but, you know, to go to your,
wasn't
to your point,
wasn't it obvious to everyone that this was a scam?
Maybe. I mean, but like anything else, you know, he convinced people to trust them with his money. He converted that fiat money into digital currency. I mean, that's what a cryptocurrency exchange does. He allowed them to trade it. He made some arbitrage off those trades, and then the whole thing came crumbling down because they didn't have, insofar as I can tell, the proper amount of reserves so that when people were trying to take their money out, it wouldn't collapse head forward.
Crumble is the wrong word here. You want to use the word crash, not crumble.
Cryptocurrency. There's just the currency.
Pardon me?
I have Bitcoin. You could come to me and say, give me that Bitcoin, and I can give you the Bitcoin. Period. There's no reserves. This is not banking.
But you will give us
the actual bits and bytes.
He's going to give us a number. Bitcoin. That's what I got out of this.
I'll give you my. You know what? My Bitcoin used to be worth three times as much as it is now.
Uh huh. That's true.
But I didn't pay for it, so I don't care.
Well,
so this should be obvious to everybody. All these media people, like Adam Fisher here, at Adam C. Fisher on Twitter, who wrote this glorious article. I really believe in this SBF guy, and he's fucked. He's screwed. He's ruined his journalistic thing. Sequoia Capital, who believed in this garbage. Why do people fall for this?
You know the answer to that. Why do people fall for scams? Come on, it happens every single day. We see it all the time.
I know that the media lies all the time, and you just have to admit that all the media lies at least part of the time.
Well, we lie. We're the media, right? We try. We're not very good at it.
I'm quite familiar with your history, Eric.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gauntlet has been thrown down.
I think you're answering one of your own questions.
Alex, hang on. Yeah. Alex, you first, then our caller. Go ahead.
Okay. I think you're answering one of your questions yourself when you mentioned Sequoia Capital, you know, and how do they make their money? How do they get people to entrust them with this capital? And I think it's exactly because major investors like Sequoia Capital believed in FTX, or they were bamboozled to believe in it. And if an ordinary individual who wants to start cryptocurrency trading or get into this particular type of market because they see it as potentially lucrative, they're going to look at FTX and say, wow, Sequoia Capital put money into this. They must have done their due diligence. I'm going to trust the judgment of somebody who does this professionally for a living and has made billions of dollars in doing so. So a fortiori, FTX must be a trusted and safe platform into which I will put my money. So everybody was bamboozled, and I think it was a snowballing effect when you look at who the investors were and how SBF got those types of investors to support his company.
Anything else?
Bernie Madoff also supposedly made a lot of people a lot of money, but it was a Ponzi scheme. This is just a classic Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to make any money trading dollars back and forth.
Well,
okay,
just like
you're
going to
make money loaning people dollars.
Just like a classic Ponzi scheme, the thing fell apart when people start to take their money out. That's what happened with Bernie Madoff, and that's what happened with FTX here. I mean, there is a lot of similarity. But I think it does go back, though, to this FTX exchange not having the right amount of reserves on hand, such that when everybody went to run for their money and try to get it out, the whole thing just toppled over.
Yeah, I think the point here is that if that happened to any exchange, it would collapse. The question is, are they protected from collapse? You know, it used to be in the past that banks weren't protected, and that's what led to the Depression. So, yeah, you know, we learn from our mistakes, and this is another big mistake, I think.
There's not supposed to be any cash in a cryptocurrency exchange. It's supposed to go from one currency to the other, and that's it. A bank will take money and loan it out to people, so I'll get a mortgage, and I'm going to borrow money from the bank, which has depositors, and I'm going to pay them interest, and I'm going to pay the bank interest. That's different from a cryptocurrency exchange, which is just trading numbers at very minimal cost to the system.
That may be
obviously,
the case. But
anybody making money who's donating $50 million to the Democrats has to be stealing. It's clear.
Well, look, there. To go back to your question about fiat currency and a cryptocurrency exchange, I mean, there is always, I think, going to be an element of fiat currency or real money in a cryptocurrency exchange that accepts fiat currency to turn it into cryptocurrency. I mean, there is that, right? And then in terms of what SBF did with the money and handing out however many millions to the Democrats, I mean, I think that's all going to be borne out and certainly through investigations, I would think.
Well, there was definitely something going on with FTX. I mean, they were promoting, they had a stadium named after them, and all the umpires mm-hmm. were wearing the thing. There was
Larry
definitely
David
some corruption.
Was in their Super Bowl
yeah,
ad.
I just heard Larry David is getting sued as a result of this. Larry David was basically portraying somebody who didn't even believe in cryptocurrency, and the slogan was "Don't be like Larry." And now he's getting sued from people that say, "Wow, you misled us with FTX." I think that's a typically Larry David thing to have happen.
Well, he's responsible if he promoted it, and he did promote it by ending up in the ad. If you'll remember from back in the 80s. Pat Boone and Debbie Boone were sued by the FTC for promoting Acne Statin, which is an acne medication, which did not work as claimed, but there were commercials all over TV about how wonderfully it worked.
Okay. I mean, that's a product. It's simple to say this has absolutely no scientific bearing and anything like that. Cryptocurrency, we're not going to be these people, but there are people who will argue that it's beneficial and it's the future. I don't want to be a person like that. I don't want to even have this conversation anymore, but that will happen. It's more complex, I think, than just one shady product.
Yeah, I think when you're dealing with finance, you're inherently, you have to establish trust and beware of greed. And we're not, I mean, it's not news to us that there is greed.
Yeah, lots of it.
There's no legislated fiduciary responsibility in any of these crypto things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get screwed. You're better off buying gold or silver quarters or just keeping paper money in your pocket.
Or drugs. That's very profitable.
Drugs are not as profitable as you might think.
Really? Okay. I have to watch a documentary then.
So the price of cocaine has plummeted in the past few years.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah. Damn Biden. Anyway, we got to move on.
Instead of snorting.
All right.
Rebels up next. So
yeah, Rebels on the.
We'll talk about lies in the media the next time.
Okay, I look forward to it. Rebels in the on deck circle. Good hearing from you. Take care.
Be well.
Yeah, bye.
And yes, I was able to confirm we have in fact fixed the call waiting issue. And that's our hum. I thought it was his hum. Yeah, it's hard. See, it's in the board. It's not on the phone line. It's in the board. Hear that hum? It's got nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with those.
It's because we don't know the words.
Yeah, I could turn the Skype people off, and I bet it would disappear then. No, it got worse. Oh, all right. Let's not mess with the board on the air. We're going to make all kinds of horrible sounds. It's a slight hum. We'll deal with it. And you know what I'll do?
It wasn't like that.
I'll turn it off while there's no caller. How about that? That way the caller has to be speaking to mask the hum. All right, our phone number, 802-321-4225. There, I got it out this time so somebody can actually dial it. 802-321-4225. Any other thoughts? I don't want to talk about Bitcoin or digital currency anymore. I didn't want to. And I just wanted to focus on the crazy disaster, catastrophe that's going on and how insane it all is. Just for a moment.
One final point.
Oh, my God. Go ahead. Make more points. Go ahead.
It relates to Bobcat's comments here, which I think this is really funny. I'm just seeing this now that a bunch of Democrats that had received money from FTX or Sam Bankman-Fried have now tried to distance themselves from those particular donations by taking the money and donating it forward to other types of charities. So Kirsten Gillibrand of New York is planning to donate the $16,600 contribution to a Bronx-based charity, Arriva. This is from a Fortune Crypto article. Arriva that promotes, quote, individual wealth and economic development in low to moderate income families. And there's, I think, tons of other politicians. Representative Jesus Chuy Garcia donated $2,900 he received from Bankman-Fried. I'm sorry, I was getting the surname mixed up. It's Sam Bankman-Fried, not Bankman-Fried.
What point are we trying to make? Politicians are corrupt. Yes, we get it.
Well, they're all trying to distance themselves.
Well, wouldn't you try to distance yourself? I mean, these things happen constantly, and I don't think it's just Democrats. I think it's everybody to a degree.
Did they did they not raise campaign funds?
I mean, I think the whole issue of raising campaign funds is corrupt, but that's a whole other discussion. Gila, you had something, then we'll take a call.
Well, I was just curious about the whole class action lawsuit because it's beyond Larry David. And also it's one person, I think. And how is it becoming, like, it's been referred to as a class action, but it's one person so far.
Well, one person starts a class action. Isn't that right, Alex? That's how it begins.
Yeah, you need a class representative for.
Yeah. Apparently the dude filed yesterday and the lawyers who are representing him are not, I don't think, the folks you'd think about for filing a class action lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
David Boies is representing him.
Well, I mean, he's a very smart lawyer, David Boies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's represented victims from things he comes from a firm full of smart people. I wouldn't put it past them to get a class certified, though.
So I think it's interesting, you know, I think the idea of suing all these people who are in the commercials, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's good publicity. I think that's what it's all about, you know, because we're talking about it now.
Well, there's someone to sue. I agree with Gila. I mean, if it was an animation or some kind of paper cutout collage, I mean, there wouldn't, maybe you would, they go after that artist? I mean, it seems unusual, but they're saying the value of that celebrity's endorsement supersedes enough, or to a point where they are actually liable because of the sort of value of the trading in their name or with their endorsement.
I don't know. Like I could get behind the suing the people in the commercials. First, because I don't like people who make commercials usually. But no, if you
you don't like Mikey for Life cereal, really?
Hate
you're
going
to attack a little kid?
Well, he wouldn't like me anyway. He doesn't like anybody.
He wouldn't and he's a lot bigger now too. I should point out.
That's true.
I'd be careful, worried. Rob. With you know where you aim your vitriol. But go ahead.
But like in a situation in which like someone trusts me and I tell that person to like feed arsenic to their children and say they do and it doesn't end well and then it's my fault that they did that and they want to enact some sort of penalty against me for being responsible for that and abusing my trust. And then there's the whole fact of getting a celebrity to do a commercial is you want to bank on that celebrity's trust to sell your thing. So I don't think it's unconnected.
I think it, if I can sound like a lawyer for a second, I think it speaks to intent. And I think if Larry David and others knew that this was shady as hell and that, you know, the people were going to get ripped off, then you have something. But if he went in there thinking, oh, yeah, it's just the latest digital way of doing cash or something like that, I don't think you can really blame him for being anything other than an actor looking for a gig.
I think especially who the customer is for these ads or the slots themselves or the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that the talent is saying, hey, Super Bowl ad.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they want to be, you know, associated with that. I don't think they're necessarily going through the ins and outs of who the client is for that slot.
And plus, if you're going to sue Larry David, you have to sue every single umpire that was part of the postseason play and helped eliminate the Mets. Okay, I didn't mean that last part because obviously they weren't biased against the Mets. Although some of those calls, I don't know.
Don't talk about that.
No, I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to bring it up. But basically, you know, if everybody is involved, they were advertising it a lot more because I was seeing it constantly.
But the interesting thing about this lawsuit to me is that besides Larry David, pretty much everybody who's named is a sports figure. And I found that very interesting. Like, there's been some sort of really interesting overlap between FTX and sports. Like, how long do you think they're going to have to call it the FTX Arena? Yeah, how long is that contract going to last?
They're taking it down, I heard. Yeah. So I guess when you go out of business, you lose your rights to the name.
Well, I think there's
like the Pets.com Arena for a minute. Wasn't that a thing?
And Staples Center.
Uh-huh. Well, Staples still exists.
I'm just trying to start a rumor.
Gila, I think there's like crossover with sports betting, right? Because it's risky. Mm-hmm. So these like risky kind of things that are paying for ads. I think there's definitely like some parallels there.
Interesting. Yeah.
Alex, and then do we have a call that's been on hold this whole time?
We do, but they're very patient.
All right. Well, good for them. Thank you, caller, that you can't talk to us yet, but thank you for being patient.
Oh, there.
We're aware that you're there. Yeah. I'm not going to get to you in a second.
They'll be fine.
But Alex needs to speak, and I have to defer to him.
About this lawsuit thing, and this isn't a way of assuaging all of you, but I think you're all right in the sense that there is some publicity value to these types of lawsuits. And that there's also problems with them. I think that some of these lawsuits, especially against these celebrity figures, are going to have some settlement value because people are going to want to wiggle out of them one way or the other. Either they're going to have to litigate, file a motion to dismiss, or try to fight the class certification. And that all can take time and money. Or it might just be easier to just settle your way out of this damn thing and be done with it. But on the other hand, I think if they were to proceed against the celebrity endorsers, there are going to be certain elements of the claim that are going to be very difficult to prove, namely knowledge, as mm-hmm. Emmanuel pointed out. You know, knowledge that this was, in fact, some kind of scam or it was bad, what they knew or should have known that this thing was about to collapse when nobody knew or should have known. To go back to our last caller, Bobcat, Sequoia Capital, putting a ton of money into this thing would seem to go against the argument that Larry David should have known better than Sequoia Capital. And then causation. You have to prove that the defendants proximately caused the damages at issue in this particular case. And I think it's going to be very difficult to get somebody like Larry David on the hook, who was very recently in an ad for FTX. Mm-hmm. But it might be easier to get somebody on the hook who had been a celebrity endorser much earlier on in its tenure.
And I hope Larry David can see the humor in this, because if anyone can see the humor, it's him. I think, Alex, you should offer to be his lawyer, because I think you could do a good job and we can get him on the show that way. But here's the defense that I think you should bring to Larry David when you call him. Basically, Larry wasn't acting. He was saying, this is nonsense. You should not invest in this, because the whole thing was, don't be like Larry. Don't not believe in FTX. He could say, no, I was just being myself. I was saying, don't believe in FTX, because I truly didn't believe it. But then they just used my words, you know, to help sell. And if people didn't listen to me, that's on them. I think it could be a really good day in court. All right, let's take this phone call. And good evening, and thank you for your patience.
Yes, I'm not going to talk about cryptocurrency.
Thank you, Rebel, for that, too. Yes, thank you for not talking about cryptocurrency. Whatever you talk about is probably better.
You know, when I call... All right, I'll do that later, but I just like to mention that when you call any...
What, do you have notes?
Yes, no, I do it on my cell phone. I have an app called Notes. I write down, like... What
you literally have notes. Okay, all right. Well, we should try that. You know, maybe we'll sound like we know what we're doing.
organized, yeah. if mm-hmm. nothing, right?
Yeah. I'm right. sorry, Rebel. Go ahead.
Okay. When you call, like, I've been listening to the old shows from the 90s, and, you know, you call, they, you know, sometimes you call these 800 numbers from, like, AT&T and companies that are probably not, a, you know, that don't exist or have merged or whatever.
Did you also notice that you call in a lot on those shows?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Just want to make sure you caught that.
And a lot of those numbers that you call, that those 800 numbers, those toll-free numbers that you that were from the 90s, they go to a lot of the same place, like the same company, the same organization, some of them. Some of them, like if you call one or two of the same one or two different numbers from those from that time, they'll go to the same organization. They'll say, well, thank you for calling. You, congratulations. You have won a Walmart gift card, plus one to get your Walmart gift card. Just pay $2 for shipping. You know what I mean? Those kind of ad type things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also when you call 1-800, another 800 number, it says ads. I could demonstrate this. I'll put you on hold and put three-way.
Oh, joy. Yeah, okay, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, you want to hold?
I don't want to hold, but I don't have a choice, do I? Just make it fast. I think we're on hold.
I can't believe Rebel's not giving us music.
Our callers put us on hold. That's the kind of show this is.
That is? No, that's absolutely... Oh.
Our patience paid off.
Hello, thank you for calling. The number you dialed may have changed or you dialed the wrong number. The good news is I may be able to help you find better coverage on your health insurance. I have an agent standing by to speak right now. Press 1 to speak to an agent.
What did you press, Rebel?
Okay.
What did you press?
Well, I pressed 1.
Don't press 1. I want to talk to an agent. I'm not ready.
I think it hangs up when you press 1, but I don't know.
But didn't it say that there was somebody standing by?
I don't know. No, it's like when you call, like that was like 1-800 New York City Safe. Remember back in like 2002, they had, if you see it, if you suspect terrorism, call 1-800-NYC Safe. And then, you know, you used to get like the New York City Police, you know, Joint Terrorism Task Force. Now if you call that 800 number, that's what you get, the this ad.
Okay, that's awfully weird, and I'm not sure why you're calling that number so often, but it's what in God, is someone being electrocuted?
Sorry, yeah, that's our door end. Buzzer.
That's your doorbell? Why does it sound like that?
We don't know.
Huh. Doorbells. Doorbells are nice. They're chimes, things like that. All right, Rebel. Anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah, some company, like when you call some companies, like 800 numbers or some organization, they say, "Thank you for calling. All of our neighbors, our agents are busy," but they don't tell you who you're calling. Like you call an organization, or it doesn't say, "Thank you for calling," the whatever company.
It's a generic, you know? Recording. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it just says, "Thank you for calling. All of our representatives are busy."
Yeah,
but
well, you know who you called. I mean, do you call people you don't know who you're calling? Do you do that often?
No, just, you know, I don't know. Like when I get a scam call, you know, like an 800 number, and then, you know.
Uh-huh. They don't want you to know who you're calling then in that situation, if it's a scam call.
Well, so today I got a call from an Indian saying, this is, you know, they were calling.
You got a call from an Indian? You want to rephrase that maybe in a better way?
An Indian scammer?
I'm sorry?
The Indian scammer that called you with the same phone number.
I challenge you, if you could tell the difference between somebody from India and someone from Pakistan and someone from Bangladesh. Well, or somebody from Queens, even. You're making a lot of assumptions here.
A Far Eastern, a person that seems to have had a Far Eastern accent.
Okay, but how does that play into what they're doing? You know,
because I got a call from the same area code and a similar exchange, and the recording says, "This is the border customs and border protection. We are investigating something that you did on the border. Please press 1.
No, that's a number I'd like to hear. Is that a?
I don't know. They call you on your cell phone, so I don't have a thing to record. Well, I guess I could get a recording app.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
So Customs and Border Patrol is after you. Is that what we get out of this?
No, it's a scam. You press 1 and they say...
But everybody says that, Rebel. Everyone says it's a scam. But, you know, you have your day in court to, like, prove your innocence.
Well, did they send me anything in the mail?
I don't know. Are you on the run? Are you near a mailbox? This is serious. You shouldn't laugh at this. It's a Customs and Border Patrol. You know, we have all kinds of issues with borders and patrols, and our customs are terrible.
Well, another one called and said, thank you. You know, we can help you with your student loan.
You got to pay those back, Rebel. My God, if you have, Customs and Border Patrol after you and you still haven't paid back your student loans, you're in a world of trouble. I can't even begin to describe this. Yeah. You know what you need? He needs a lawyer. Alex, can you help Rebel with some legal issues here? Because it seems like he's digging himself in pretty deep.
Yeah, the Rebel's got a lot of issues there.
He sure does.
You might have some serious CBP concerns there.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
Another person called and said, we can help you with your Medicare.
Oh, wow. Is it that time already? Okay. Well, I guess Rebel's on Medicare. And you're on Medicare and you haven't paid back your student loans yet, and you're running from the border. It's a lot more interesting than I thought it was when he called.
Well,
thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All of our representatives are busy.
Hang on. Alex is trying to talk, so go ahead.
Yeah, the CBP scam, the Customs and Border Patrol scam that you were subjected to, Rebel, I had one of these calls last year, and I played along with it for a while. And the way in which it went was they called you up, they asked you what your name was, this is CBP, we're investigating an incident that, and then they asked, usually ask you, where were you traveling? Were you traveling over here in Texas or so-and-so? You say, no, I was never on that border town in Texas. And they say, why is that? There was a car that was rented from a local distributor, a local,
car rental
car
place.
Car rental place,
yeah.
Or something. Mm-hmm. And it was rented with your name and your identification.
Oh, dear.
Okay, And it turns out, and here's where it went awry in my case, Lisa. And then they told me that, this car was found in a deserted parking lot two nights ago with a dead body in it. And that somebody
Alex,
had been murdered in his car.
You're scammed. You think it's funny, Gila? A murdered person in Alex's car? I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard a scam like this. This seems to be a primetime TV type of thing.
And then, of course, somehow from there it devolves into some kind of gift card scam where the credit card processing unit for them to take the money to absolve you from whatever the charge is.
Wait. They expect you to believe that you can get rid of a dead body literally with a gift card?
Yeah, or you might have to pay some kind of fee in order to not be taken into custody, that you can pay your bail right now. Something like that.
They and come we up with wonder, kind of, we wonder how people fall for cryptocurrency scams.
will get some people, especially the elderly who are.
What I do is when I ask for the gift card, I just say, okay, I'll give me your number. I got to go to the gift card. I'll call you back from the payphone from they start cursing at you and then hang up. And then when you call the number.
That's unprofessional.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when you call the number, it's either somebody else's phone number, like you're calling some stranger, or the number, you get a recording saying the number doesn't exist.
But to get back to the murder, okay, so you say the elderly are susceptible to this. I've known a lot of elderly people throughout my life. Okay, I know some now. I don't know anybody who would get a phone call like that from someone who said that there's a dead body in a car that you rented in a different state, and think that they can solve this by running down to a store and getting a gift card and reading the numbers out to this person. Are there really people who will fall for that?
Yeah. Well, I think there are. And I think that it's not every single person. I think that it is, thankfully, few and far between that fall for this kind of thing. But all it takes is one, to be fleeced for several thousand dollars, and that's a massive haul.
But it's almost like you could just call them and say, give me several thousand dollars, because to fall for a story like that.
Yeah, you would think, in my case, what happened was they told me about this dead body found in the car.
Yeah, how did it get resolved?
And they asked if I was aware of this.
Yes. I've been meaning to do something about it. I've been so busy. But the dead body, it's still there, right? Tell me it's still okay.
No, I said, yes, I am aware of it. I murdered that person and I left that car there.
You said that.
So,
you confessed to murder over the telephone.
Yeah, and then they know that you know it's a scam. They get angry at you, they curse at you, and they hang up.
But you confess to murder over state lines, over that telephone line.
I guess, yeah, I confessed. International lines, according to Rebel.
Well, then you get international police involved. So
Interpol.
Yeah, Interpol. Yeah. Oh, my. Okay, well.
Yeah, they're going to be coming after me for that border murder.
You know what? Larry David might have to look for somebody else because you're going to be too busy defending your own problems. Let's go back to Rebel and his student loan and issues with Medicare and the Customs and Border Patrol. Rebel, I don't know. You got to take these things seriously. And
well, no, they want a gift card. So I call. They did not call. They did call me back, and I said that I was at a store, mm-hmm. and I said, "Oh yes, would you like the gift card?" And I said, "Oh." Then you know what I said to them? What did
you say to them?
Please deposit 30 cents. 30 cents.
Whoa! How did the payphone get on the line? Did you hear that? The payphone lady was just that was so real, Rebel. That was I could not tell the difference.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm at a payphone.
You could get a job somehow being the phone lady that asks for money from a payphone if any of those things still existed.
Right. Well, maybe if somebody has cocats around.
Hey, on that note, have you heard? And has everybody here heard that they're getting rid of operators? AT&T is getting rid of operators. Yeah, Gila, I think you found this story.
You mean zero operators?
Zero operators. Listen to Gila. She's going to tell you some sobering news here.
Okay, so I mean, yes, but I think is the answer. So people who have AT&T digital home landlines that used to be called AT&T U-verse, customers in 21 states who have AT&T home phone service as of January the 1st mm-hmm. will no longer have access to Zero for Operator and 411.
Wow.
So it's not... I know.
I mean, can you believe it? The operator won't be around anymore if you have AT&T. I don't know if Verizon... I haven't been on a Verizon phone in a while, but if you dial zero, do you get an operator? Do you get anything?
I mean, I looked it up. Verizon landline service only exists in 3 or 4 states right now, wow. Part of 3 or 4 states. And I think it still exists for those customers, but not for free.
You mean you have to pay to call the operator?
You definitely have to pay to call for directory assistance, and I believe you have to call for operator. You have to pay for operator assisted calls as well.
But what about operator? Get me the police. How do you do that?
I think they just want you to text the police and do it that way. You know,
this world
this
is just
like
changing.
Death of a thousand cuts for home phone service.
It's changing too fast. But look, if zero is available, I'd like that number because, you know, if they're not using it, we can certainly find some creative ways to, you know, to have the old zero number. Go ahead, Rebel.
Call AT&T U-verse.
So if I had a wireline phone, a regular like residential phone, mm-hmm. or let's say a phone at work, a business, if you dial zero, with the operator, you're not going to get, you know, the recording says, please, zero for operator.
Well, hang on, Rebel. Do you live in Alabama, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, South Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, or Wisconsin? Okay, I think that's the YouTube.
Yeah, why does he sound so far away?
Because he's replaying himself.
He's replaying himself. Okay.
No, you cut out. Okay.
Sorry. Did you miss that whole list? All right, I'll do it again.
Wait. Rebel, do you live in any of those states? Did you hear the states?
No. Was it New York?
Okay. Read the states again.
All right. Rebel, listen carefully. Do you live in Alabama, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, or Wisconsin?
No.
Okay, then we're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. But things aren't like they used to be. You can't just dial zero.
Those are the states that they're going to get. They're not going to have zero operators, local operators.
Those are the states where if you have AT&T home phone service, you will not be able to dial zero for an operator anymore.
Service from your local telephone company, like 9X or Bell Atlantic or things like that.
They don't exist anymore.
They have those anymore?
those companies don't exist. Look, we have Verizon here, maybe. I don't know. Are there people with Verizon here?
Not in this part of the state.
Okay.
Fios phone lines upstate.
Okay, so look, we see where this is going. It's getting to the point where there won't be zero operators fairly soon. If you live in a place with a different local phone company, dial zero, see if you get an operator, see if they charge you for it, see who they are. But I think things are dwindling in the operator world, which is crazy to think of, but it's true.
I know of a phone in a place, you know, a place of business. I could dial zero and get it. A month or two ago, I dialed zero and got a Verizon operator and dialed 00 and got AT&T. So I'll try that again tomorrow and see if I get it. Maybe they know something.
And report back, because we do want to hear. All right, we have to move on to other calls, but thanks, Rebel, for calling in.
I wonder what's going to happen if you dial zero, or what you would even get.
I shudder to even think what might happen
when
you do that.
Your phone will explode.
Well, it's happened before, so let's not joke about that. Phones explode all the time.
Can you still dial 000?
That's what he just did. He got AT&T. All right, Rebel, so we look forward to hearing the results of this.
Yeah, of course.
All right, take care. All right. That was Rebel. All right, I think one more call we can take, 802-321-4225, if another call comes in. Alex, looks like you have something to say, because you're leaning right up to the screen and look very intense.
No, that's just, I'm just being a little overbearing at the moment.
Yeah, your face is like four times the size of either Gila's or Rob's, so you're very close to the screen. So,
just a big man.
All right.
Well, my apologies for the interference on the phone line. I will. I'll take a look.
Yeah, Kyle's rewiring the board while we're doing the show.
I was trying a couple things because
I don't know why you have to do it right now.
Oh, it's obnoxious to not do it for me when you have such a when you're entrusted with this operation.
This is Off the Hook Overtime, where apparently anything goes. You can still write to us, oth@2600.com. We'll be happy to hear your letters, even if they're abusive. And I believe we're on next week as well, on radio and on YouTube. And our phone line is open right now, 802-321-4225. But in a couple of minutes, it won't be, because we have other things to do. And we have a call. Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yeah, my name is Paul, and I came across your this show last week on YouTube.
You came across the show on YouTube? Wow.
Yeah, I think it was last week it was.
You just found us by accident? And, that's amazing.
I just wanted to give you all a suggestion, though. Mm-hmm. You see, you need to either maybe activate, like, the chat thing so people can, like, send messages on the chat. And if not, at the least, put the number to the show on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, last week I was trying to call in, and for, like, maybe 20 minutes, you didn't say the number anymore, so I couldn't call in.
That's a good point. The chat, I'm not so sure about. We can try the chat and see what happens, but what I think is going to happen is a bunch of people are going to be talking back and forth, and we're just going to sort of become background noise. But we can try it, you know, see, maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll... What do you think? Okay, as a listener, what do you think is the advantage of having a chat open while the show is on?
Well, one of the advantages is when you have people talking, when you have somebody calling in, the person can actually ask that those people questions. Like, for instance, last week, I was with a friend of mine who's actually from Bulgaria. You have this guy from Bulgaria call in.
Bobson, yes.
And the person I was with wanted to ask him something because he happens to be from there. So it just, you know, like if they could chat, he would have been able to type the question, and you could have asked him while you had him on the phone or something.
But we'd have to be looking at the screen then. I'm not looking at a screen right now of YouTube, but is anybody here? You guys, are you looking at it? Would you be able to ask Bobson the question if somebody asked him? Okay, well, maybe Bobson himself would see the question. But okay, that's a good point.
At least put the number to call in on screen.
That we definitely should do. I agree with that. But my concern is, what if someone becomes abusive and starts insulting somebody who's calling in, and then they get all flustered, and maybe I'm just thinking, the worst. But
yeah. Oh, and the other thing, these scams. The gentleman that called in earlier. Mm-hmm. These scams are just very, very prevalent. It's at the point, if you go into Walgreens right now to buy a gift card, they actually ask you at this point. They'd say, well, did you get a call online? Or is this, did somebody tell you? Like I get these calls all the time where somebody says, hey, I just won $50 million. And they would say, hey, you just need to buy a gift card and pay a fee, and then we'll send you the $50 million.
Ah.
I get these type of calls all the time. And So if you go into Walgreens right now to buy these gift cards, a lot of times they ask you, you know, did you get a call from someone promising you something? You know, they ask you, you know, questions like that because they're going to tell you it's a scam. You know, and a lot of these scammers, too, they tell you on the phone when they call in, they will say, hey, if you go into the stores and they ask you any questions, just say the gift card is for your brother. That's what they'll say. Say you're just buying a gift card for a family member.
Uh-huh.
That's what the scammers will tell you.
So they're one step ahead.
They want to, because they know about all that stuff. You know, sometimes when they call me, if I've got nothing better to do, I just play along with them, just play around with them for a little bit. And they say stuff like that. But
wow, it's like an ongoing series. You could update it every week. Okay, now they're on to this, and this is their new tactic.
That's the new exactly. Incredible. Exactly.
Rob, do you have something to ask our caller? Go ahead.
I love the idea. When I get these calls, my favorite thing to do is to just see how long I can string them along, how long I can keep them on the phone, because it's like all the joy of making a prank phone call, except it's not my fault and I'm not doing the wrong thing. And so it's just very freeing. You can mess with them. You can see what you can get them to try and believe about you. It can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing. You were talking earlier about the Senate. And you were saying one of the advantages of winning Georgia is Kamala Harris won't have to break the tie,
mm-hmm.
you were saying earlier?
Yes.
I mean, to me, the bigger advantage of that than Kamala Harris is they won't need Joe Manchin anymore.
Absolutely.
He's a bit of a, you know, he just, you know, he's like a, you know, he's kind of like a 50-50 guy, you know?
Right.
So,
well, the same, Manchin and Sinema, basically you can play them against each other. And you won't need them. Yes, exactly. So, huge advantage.
You know, they'll get a lot more things done. But anyway, I enjoyed your show. And just from watching your show last week, I got introduced to WBAI. So I didn't even know the show. That's when I googled you and I found out about WBAI. You know, I never heard of WBAI before.
How about, are you in the local area?
I am. I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, awesome. Wow. So that's great. Yeah. So the YouTube show got you turned on to WBAI. That's incredible.
Yeah. Thanks for bumping in and wandering around like that.
Yeah, and we'll take those suggestions to heart. We'll try and experiment and make some changes.
Make the phone number more visible. That's easy enough.
Have a good evening.
All right, take care.
Be well.
Wow, that's a great call to end on, I think. Alex, yeah. I think you had something to say?
I think it's a great call, too. I think we could do one more. We usually go to like 9.
God
10,
damn it, Alex. I want to. It's after 9 o'clock. All right. Well, another phone call.
I think the caller does have a good point. On that image that displays, you should have the phone number. I agree.
Okay. All right. I have no idea how to put it there, but we'll work on it.
Contact the art department.
We have a week. And, maybe we can experiment with chat. I don't know. It's just, look, you can post feedback, right, to the show, but that's something else. That's not a chat. That's feedback, right? But then you can have a chat going on while the show is on.
I don't think that's a good idea because I see it easily turning into something we don't want it to be.
Right, but then we can say, look, this is what happened when we tried it, so we can have ammunition on our side.
We're already saying that.
Yeah, but we can prove it. Now we can prove how bad it is.
We don't need to prove it.
Gila.
Are comments disabled on channel 2600 as well?
Yes.
Well, they're not disabled on Hope videos, I'm pretty sure. People can comment.
Okay, but comments are definitely disabled on the overtimes.
Okay, they are.
So people have not been able to interact with us at all on those videos.
Okay, interesting. I don't see the harm in comments.
Comments, I think, are okay unless they get overrun by spam bots. My concern is that if we have the chat open, someone's going to have to monitor it.
What happens if you don't monitor it?
Then if people are like, oh, hey, I have a question for the caller, but if we don't have somebody, one of us is not monitoring it, we won't know.
Yeah, that's the point I was making before. Are any of us looking at the YouTube screen?
I just, what part of forever is confusing? You know, like we open it up and it starts, you know, I don't want to read 15 years or whatever into the future what someone thought, you know, that day about something that was said forever ago.
People aren't going to want to hear what we have to say 15 years from now.
Yeah,
it all works out.
I'm flattered that they're listening, but do they need to weigh in? Am I going to be going back and checking that?
You should.
Well, what if I have to be worried about going back and checking that? I don't want that.
Wow. So many little elements here.
What if the activity there upstages the actual content that we're sharing?
You mean, what if the comments are better than the show?
Why are we taking this moment and this particular thing? And
because we take our listeners seriously,
pretending like,
and someone suggests something, we have to go back and forth and weigh the advantages and disadvantages.
Well, in our about, like, we could share the number, mm-hmm. but I just feel like everybody's opinion about everything, is that really a discussion we want to host on every single one of these videos? That's not why
my there. My worry is that it'll get dominated by one or two people, which tends to happen in situations like that. And again, you know, in addition to just moderating to see questions, you got to moderate for, you know, abuse or, you know, all kinds of ugly things that happen online. And it's just more responsibility and more things to worry about.
Well, and I think it eliminates the possibility for people to interact in the ways that we are encouraging them to interact, like make a phone call, write in to OTH at 2600.
If the phone number is there, then yeah, call in. That's the point of the show, is for people to call in. Yes, Rob, go ahead.
You know, Off the Hook has had a listener chat for decades, and that is the IRC channel on 2600's IRC server.
That's
there has
true.
Always been the channel Off the Hook for listeners of the show together. And, you know, there have been people who've used that over the years to talk to one another while listening to the show. And I think we could easily just declare that the place to be if you want to talk during overtime as well. I'm sure that happens. And, you know, people can hang out there and chat and have a good time.
But we're not watching that. So if someone asks a question of the caller, you know, that scenario still doesn't work.
I don't have an answer for that. I don't, that's
they
fair.
Can call us.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm into experimenting and trying things, seeing what happens. And if it's a disaster, then we know it's a disaster. And we could always say, remember when we did it that time, it was a disaster.
Okay.
I think, though, that given the realities of the situation that we're working with right now, if, say, hypothetically speaking, Rebel calls and is on the phone for 25 minutes, and we have a listener who has something else to say but can't get through because Rebel's on the phone for 25 minutes, and we only have the one phone line. So, you know, if – and maybe that is the thing for the comments. Not necessarily live chat, because that would be a whole different ball of wax, if you will. But – I just kind of wanted to give Rebel a hard time for being on the phone for 25 minutes.
So, but someone would say on the chat, hey, I'm trying to get through too. But then everybody in the chat will know that someone else is trying to get through. And then they could thwart those efforts by, you know, calling before that person gets to call. You know?
Right. Or they could just, you know, leave comments and we could say, hey, Rebel, while you were on the phone for 25 minutes, these 10 people each had something to say. And here's what it is.
All right. Well, it's worth considering. Did we ever get another phone call?
Bring back the call waiting beep.
Give the phone number out. No, I don't have anything.
All right, 802-321-4225. And we're going to give it till 10 after, and then we're done, Alex. Maybe some of us don't have plans tonight, but others might.
Yeah. I have to say I'm getting over something over the last 2 days. I have I had a really, really nasty bug that really knocked me on my butt yesterday. So it's been like 2 days. And my stomach is still not right. So
I was wondering why you were in an isolation chamber.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. More isolated than usual.
I felt it was rude to ask. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you feel better.
I'm better now, but it was rough. Let me tell you, yesterday was rough. It wasn't COVID, but it was something bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things out there. Just waiting to pounce.
Out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. So what was it? 802-321-4225?
Yes, and there's 90 seconds left. And if we don't get a call in 90 seconds, we're going to hang it up for the night.
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead,
since
Gila.
We're talking about YouTube. Did we ever find out what the word that's missing from the picture says?
Oh, no. I think people lost interest in that. The thing that says will be removed?
Yeah.
I think we had a theory as to what that was. But
I bet it's bikes.
Maybe bikes. Could
that
be.
That definitely looks like a B on the end there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's bikes.
I think we have a call. Let's pick it up. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Thank you for calling. You have won a prize.
Are you happy, Alex? This is what happens. You get Rebel pretending to be other people. Yeah, that's what you wanted to hear, huh?
Oh, boy. Okay.
You did this, Alex.
Yeah, that's I'll take some responsibility.
Just like, the chat thing, saying this is what's going to happen if we do that. It always plays out.
We try to have nice things. Mm-hmm.
Always the worst thing imaginable is what happens.
Sorry, Rebel, are you upset that I impugned your integrity?
He's not there anymore. Do you think he lasted?
I wasn't sure. There's no way to know from here.
I think he had to do some work.
Oh, right. My gosh.
Is there a call coming in?
There is not.
4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. That's 10 after we're done. I just decreed that as the cutoff time. Right. So, again, you can write to us, oth@2600.com. We'll be happy to hear from you. And, anything else we need to tell people? There's no meetings coming up this week. It's the middle of the month. New issue 2600 is out, so go find that. That's a bit of fun. We introduced 11 t-shirts yesterday. That's kind of fun.
The new merch in the merch store, which is pretty great.
Yeah, so we're busy.
Support WBAI. And give to WBAI.org.
Exactly.
Yeah, get those things off the back burner. Be active. Hack some stuff. Tell us about it. Tell us all about it.
Yes. We will see you next week if we're not preempted. And if we are preempted, we'll let you know on the 2600 website. Good night, everyone.